Hey, this is Dale Calvert. I'd like to welcome you to this session I'm calling Critical Life Questions. Critical Life Questions. I appreciate you clicking on the link, taking a listen. I hope this is impactful for you. I hope it makes an impact. I hope it gets you to think. That's really my goal, is to provoke thought. I see so many entrepreneurs, so many people just living day in and day out, going through the motions of life habitually, doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. And of course, that's what Einstein called the definition of insanity, to continue to do what we've always done, the way we've always done it, expecting different results. Now, if I was you, and this is the first time you've ever heard me, or heard me speak, who's this guy with a country accent? What's going on? Why am I listening to this person? That should be the first thing you should ask yourself. Again, my name's Dale Calvert. I was originally raised in a little town called Stamping Ground, Kentucky, population 400. Not even a stoplight in the town. It was just like Mayberry, for those of you that are Andy Griffith fans. It's like Mayberry. The only difference was in Stamping Ground, and you can verify this with those that live there, our town drunk was named Andy, and our sheriff was named Otis, and that's a true story. Long story short, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, from the time I can remember. I sold fishing worms to when I was 4 or 5 years old to all the fishermen in town, collected pop bottles, sold Christmas cards, sold seeds, picked blackberries and sold on pears, you name it. My entire life was spent creating my own cash flow, my own spending money. And I've done a lot of thought regarding that, and I kind of understand where that came from. I wasn't really born with it. I'm a terrible salesperson. I really am. I'm not a good salesperson at all. I don't like sales. I don't like anything about sales. But I love building businesses, and I believe that in business, that your long-term income is in direct proportion to the value that you provide to the market that you serve. That's my foundational belief. And I love building business, finding products, creating products, taking them to the marketplace. I love it. There's everything about the whole process of marketing and advertising and finding products that you can bring to the marketplace that provide value to the end user that they love, and they love it to the point where they come back and want more of whatever you have to offer. That's where I live. That's what I believe. I don't believe there's any magic funnel or question formula, or there's some way that you can trick people into buying your product and becoming real customers. Real customers. If they buy once, they're a suspect. If they buy twice, they're a prospect. If they buy three times, then and only then they're a customer. And you can relate that to any business that you want. I can go back and look at restaurants that I've been in once or twice, but I never went back. They never got into my routine. They never got into my habit of going consistently. And again, apply it to any business you want to apply. Getting people to buy one time is no big deal, but the second and third sale is what's critical in business. So that's a little bit about my background. I started in a little town in Kentucky, population 400, built an organization, started with nothing, built it to over 60,000 independent contractors, 90 home office staff. We went from zero to $100 million in sales in 5 years. And I sold out, retired when I was 39 years old. And since that time, I've been involved in multiple businesses. I've had the opportunity to travel all over the world and share different concepts and ideas for groups. It kind of blows my mind. I still have to pinch myself sometimes just thinking about the opportunities that have been provided and given to me. But again, 20-year-old snot-nosed kid didn't know what he was doing. At age 39, I retired with a multimillion-dollar net worth. And I have kind of been just involved in different business consulting and so on and so forth and building different businesses on my own. I'm an entrepreneur. Honestly, I'm a low-level redneck entrepreneur. Honestly. Buy, sell, flip. I love it. Just the whole process. So that's where I'm coming from. And now I'm 60 years old. Been doing this my whole life. I'm 60 years old, and at the time of this recording, I feel like I've really figured a lot of things out, not just for myself, but for a lot of other people and coaching clients and people that we work with. And it's like I'm figuring it out, and the whole world's falling apart. It's like, what's going on? You know, and I just felt like I needed to make a recording and let it fall on what ears it falls on. And if it's valuable, awesome. If it's not, you know, I needed to get it out of my system. And sometimes I just need to do that. We all do. But there's just critical questions that we all need to ask. And when we don't ask ourselves the right questions, then chaos can occur in our minds first and then all around us. And then we become part of the herd, part of the sheep, following people around, doing stupid things because other people are doing stupid things. You know, I've said all my entire career speaking, if 1,000 people say a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. And, you know, so we're in a situation now, and it's like, you know, people destroying public property and tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln and whoever else is on the courthouse lawn. And you ask yourself, where's all this coming from? The chaos. Where is it coming from? And I believe it comes back to really the fundamentals of pure motivation, which is, I own the website, Pure Motivation. Which is where you probably heard this or saw information about this particular segment. And what happens is people, they have a victim mentality. And let me just back up a little bit because I think, again, it plays into programming your mind for success. I believe that we are all programmed. We are all programmed, all of us. And by the time we're 12 years old, most of us have the foundational programming, which we'll live the rest of our life with. By the time we're 12 years old, and that programming comes from authority figures, our parents, and the environment in which we are raised. Those three things primarily are what create this 12-year-old kid. And once those programs, those foundations are in place, then as we become 13, 14, 15, teenage, we reinforce through our self-talk, through our own self-talk, the programming that we received from the time we were born to the time we were 12 years old. You speak your world into existence. Our subconscious mind runs us habitually. In our conscious mind, we can get motivated or fired up from time to time, but as human beings, we must act in accordance to our programming. That's why Napoleon Hill said, what the mind can conceive, and this is the most important part, what the mind can conceive and, what did he say, and believe you can achieve. And you can tell your conscious mind all day long, man, I can do this. I'm going to do it. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I'm going to build this kind of business. And your subconscious mind is telling you, who do you think you're fooling? You've said that 1,000 times before. You're not going to do it. You know, you're going to, it's the same reason that gym memberships explode every year in January. And by March, they're vacant. The gyms are vacant. There's nobody there because people must act in accordance to their programming. And that reality, that truth, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. that truth hit me at a very young age. When I heard Zig Ziglar say, you are where you are in your life because of what's gone into your mind. And the only way to change where you are is to change what goes into your mind. And when I heard Zig say that, I was 20 years old. I was in an employee awareness class. I was about to get fired at my corporate job at IBM. I had trouble adjusting to that environment, that corporate environment. And I heard Zig on audio cassette after lunch one day say, you are where you are in your life because of what's gone into your mind. And the only way to change where you are is to change what goes into your mind. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story. It's publicized. It's out there. But the steps that I took after that to really focus on changing my programming and taking responsibility for where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do the rest of my life. That's when I started my first business. And 5 years later, was able to walk out of IBM, making more money on a part-time basis than I was making full-time at IBM. And I've never had a paycheck from a company, a 1099 cents. And it started me on a whole path, that pivot in mindset, the pivot in mindset. And probably if you have visited puremotivation.com, then you've started this journey. And if you have, I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been on this journey for years and years and years. And if you have, I want to continue to encourage you. Because as Helen Keller said, life is to be lived as a magnificent adventure or not at all. So it's a never ending road. We're always learning, growing, becoming better, becoming more self-disciplined, because self-discipline creates freedom. When you have self-discipline on a daily basis, then you can take the time to do the things that you want to do with the people that you want to do them with. If you've taken care of your money, if you've invested in income generating assets instead of toys, then you can create a lifestyle that most people really only dream about. You really truly can. There's going to be tremendous challenges and upswings and downswings. And, you know, you're going to be going sideways half the time and backwards some of the time. And it's just the journey of an entrepreneur. But if you stay focused on foundational, what I call wisdom of the ages principles that are all through the trainings in puremotivation.com, and you stay true to the wisdom of the ages principles, then you're going to live a happy, fulfilled life, and you will get where you want to go. You're going to get where you want to go. And once you get there, you know what? Once you get where you want to go, you have to set new goals. Man, that was a hard lesson I had to learn. Success is living your life working towards worthy goals. After you reach those goals, you're no longer a success unless you set new ones. Success is living your life working towards worthy goals. It's the actions that you take on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that produces a success. And once you achieve a certain level, you know, your business gets to a certain point or whatever success is for you in whatever area of life you're working on, once you get there, you're no longer a success unless you set new ones. And really, there's just seven key areas of life. Seven key areas: mental, physical, financial, career, family, spiritual. There's seven. And I do a whole training on this, which I'm not going to go through today, but there's seven key areas of life. And most people are spending time on areas and with projects that do not enrich them and their family and their life in those seven key areas. They waste so much time, you know, watching Netflix or cat videos on YouTube or whatever. It's ridiculous the amount of time that people waste on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. It's mind-blowing to me. And as Jim Rohn said, time management is the best kept secret of the rich. Time management. So getting back to programming your mind and what's going on in the United States today, you know, there's a, and let me, here's where I'm coming from. Okay. I've got two, actually I have four grandchildren. Chapel Grace, who is, I can't even, she was my first, and I can't even begin to tell you the love that I have for that child. She's a basketball player, an awesome kid, got a great heart, very value focused, cares about other people. But Chapel, and then we have Trust, and Trust was not really supposed to be born alive. He'll never walk or talk. But he's gives our family more joy than you can imagine out of a child that really does not communicate and will never walk or talk. He's my second grandchild. And then I have Jude Daniel. Jude was adopted from Uganda. Awesome kid. Super, super smart. Just happy, loving kid, Jude. And then I have Tice. And Tice was adopted. His mom and dad at the time, a few years ago, were working in an unwed mother's home in Florida. And they befriended a girl down there and helped her. She was at the home for a while and helped her get back on her feet. And I think she got her nursing degree or dental hygienist degree and went back to school and getting her life together and ended up pregnant again. And Channy, my middle daughter, they worked out a private adoption. So as soon as Tice was born, he was my grandchild. And Tice is an awesome little kid, extremely smart as well, very animated, a lot of energy. It's going to be awesome to see where his life takes him. So Tice and Jude are black. Chapel's white. Not that it matters to me at all, which is kind of the point. And then Trust, again, special needs, will never walk or talk. So that's my four grandchildren at this time and place, and hopefully there'll be more. So I'm coming from that standpoint when I talk about a lot of this. So what I see and what we all have to understand, and that all of us in our life have had major disappointments. We've had things go, I've had business partners that, I've had times in my life, I feel like I went through 20 divorces at the same time, literally, nervous breakdown stuff. We've all had challenges. We've all had people that let us down that we depended upon. And for some of us, it may have been parents, may have been grandparents. Maybe we were, in our first 12 years of life, we were raised in horrific environments. Everybody's different. Everybody has challenges. Everybody has, and some people have gone through things that I can't even imagine going through. And think about prisoners of war. And we could go on and on and on. But the point being that people would disappoint us. People have let us down. People we've depended upon, and so on and so forth. That happens. And as individuals, we have two choices. Rise above or become a victim. And I've got a whole training on this. It's on YouTube. You can check it out if you want. It's called, I might even put it on Pure Motivation, but it's called Forever Victim, I Don't Think So. But you can look at every person walking on the planet, and they're either living in victory or they're living in defeat. They're living as a chicken or they're living as an eagle. No matter where you go, all over this world, people have come through hardships. It's part of life. And again, I'm not trying to say that some people haven't gone through much worse hardships than others. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying it's all relative. You know, I think back several years ago, my oldest daughter and her husband went to Alabama to start a church. And they felt like that's what they needed to do at that time and place in their life. They're back in Kentucky now. It's actually Chapel and Trust and Jude's parents. And they went to Alabama and they started this church and they rented a school and they got, you know, everything they were building for the first event and meeting people in the community. And they really, really worked hard, you know, gave themselves some time for that first service. And we drove down from Kentucky at the time to their first service, and it was a huge success. Couple hundred, 300 or 400 people there, and it was good. And we got to meet a lot of people in the community and people that they had met, and you know, I had all these kind words to say about Brittany, my daughter, and her husband Andrew. And it was just a really, really good time. And I met a lot of great people, and I met one guy, we'll call him TJ. And, you know, I'm just meeting people. We're having general first time conversations. And within 3 or 4 minutes, TJ goes into this long winded dissertation about how 15 years ago, how his wife left him and on and on and on and on and on and on. This is 3 minutes into the conversation. It's a too much information type of conversation. We've all had these, right? We've all had people that have just too much information. And, you know, he was just such a victim in the situation. And I don't know why he felt the need to tell me, but he did. So anyway, we met a lot of great people. It was a great, successful first service. And as a family, we all went out to eat barbecue down in Birmingham when it was over. And we were just talking about the different people that we had the opportunity to meet. And my son-in-law, Andrew, said, "Hey, did you meet TJ?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Did he tell you about his divorce?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "He needs to quit doing that." So here's my point. Victim or victorious? We all have choices. We all have choices. Victim or victorious? And if you're in the middle of a life crisis and people are letting you down right now, I know this is the last thing you want to hear. And I respect that and understand that. But some of you have come through it. Have been through life crisis and come through it. And you know, I'm telling the truth. And it's a choice that you make. If you rise above or if you pity in it and you wallow in it and you have self-pity the rest of your life. And we all have friends and relatives and family members and other people that have gone through horrific things in their life, maybe even a divorce. And they can't get over it. It's been 20 years and they still talk about it, whatever it might be, or how that business partner messed over them. You know, we can all go down those roads is my point. But here's what makes it worse. And I really want you to think about this. If you were raised in an environment where your grandparents or your parents we're constantly talking about how evil or bad one race is. And you grew up with that and you heard that your whole life. I recently was driving through Louisiana, and of course some of you know the horrific history there with David Duke and the KKK. Some people had to live through a lot of those problems, those challenges, those unjust situations. And imagine a kid that hears about that over and over and over, then it starts developing that program by the time they're 12. Or if you're told about how evil black people are, or how evil Indians are, or how evil the Chinese are, or the Russians, or whoever else you want to pick out, it doesn't matter. It's really not the point. The point is, we are all programmed by the time we're 12 years old. We're all programmed about every aspect of our life, including other people that live on this planet. We all have programmed perceptions about all of that. You know, during this time, my wife and I watched a couple movies. We can't go out. And I went back and we watched Remember the Titans. If you haven't seen that, that's a great movie to revisit during this time of chaos that's going on in the United States. And a lot of people think that it is going to blow over, and some of us, some people think it's going to ultimately end up in some type of civil war if we don't get our act together. Who knows? But here's my point. This is the most important point, that we, as parents, as grandparents, it's our responsibility to help our kids and our grandkids develop the right programming. Because do you really want your grandkids to grow up their whole life telling them because of the color of their skin they're a victim? Do you really want that? Is that really a smart thing to do? You know, I look back and I think about Zig Ziglar. You know, Zig was the eighth or ninth. I think his mom had 11 children, and he was like number nine, and grew up right in the middle of the Depression in Yazoo City, Mississippi, and he was selling newspapers on the street or whatever he could do just to help his mom keep food on the table. You know, grew up in horrible situations, but rose above it and became one of the most beloved motivational speakers on the planet. Zig Ziglar, see you at the top. And again, Zig Ziglar's words changed my life. What the mind can consider, you are where you are in your life because of what's gone into your mind. And the only way to change where you are is to change what goes into your mind. And until people accept that truth and that foundation, then we're always going to be, it's easier to blame other people than it is to take responsibility. It's so much easier to just blame that race, blame that group. It's the greedy rich people's fault. It's the poor white trailer trash's fault, whoever we want to blame, instead of taking responsibility for where we are in our life and understanding that we can reprogram anything that's been put into our minds when we were kids. It's not easy, but it can be done. I did it. I didn't even need that much. I had a great childhood. But all of us have self-limiting beliefs that need to be reprogrammed. All of us. And we can reprogram our mind for success. And that's kind of the theme behind Pure Motivation. It's programming your mind for success, learning how to reprogram your brain cell patterns. Literal brain cell patterns in your mind, and how to reprogram yourself, because what the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So what has happened? We have so many people that have been taught the wrong thing, in my opinion. You know, we have so many frustrated kids that were told, go to school, get a good education, go to work for a good company, instead of, you know, you can be the owner of the company. You can do anything in life you want. You can have anything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you can bootstrap it and you can build something of significance. You know, but we've taught, you know, go to school, get a good education, go to work for a good company. And that, you know, I wrote a book about this 10 years ago, you know, how to get rich without a college education. And I'm not against formal education, but I know this. I know this. Formal education will make you a living. It'll get you a good job. But if you become self-educated, you can create a fortune, because you can get in front of the right trends and you can build businesses around those trends. And I know that for a fact. I've experienced it in my life. So I understand all that. But most people, again, they're doing what everybody told them to do, and it's not working out, and they've got major college debt, and they're frustrated, and they're aggravated. And then you've got other people that have been told, you know, that their race is put them behind the eight ball, and there's no way they can ever do anything, and it's somebody else's fault because they can't progress and move forward in life, in any area of life, because of another race. And it's ridiculous. And what happens is after we become 12 years old, through our self-talk, we just confirm, and through our words, the programming that we were raised with. And if we don't have a real solid foundation one way or the other, a lot of times we get involved with the wrong groups in colleges and people that sincerely are radical. And because everybody's trying to find their herd, try to find their group, they want to become a member of a certain tribe. A lot of good people get caught up and just crazy philosophy. Crazy, makes no sense ideas. And they come out of college and they're brainwashed in a negative way in many cases. So my point is simply this. Tearing down statues. Will not change anything. You cannot change history. You cannot change your personal history. You cannot change the history of a company. And if there's mistakes that you made in your personal history in the past, you can't change that. You can't change the mistakes of any given country. You can't change history. All you can do is learn. Live, learn, make pivots and adjustments, and move forward. That's it. Live, learn, move forward. Live, learn, move forward. But Dale, it's like me saying every time I see the Kentucky flag, it makes me feel like a low-level redneck entrepreneur or whatever. It doesn't matter the fact that I've consulted for half-billion-dollar companies and traveled all over the world and spoke on stages with some of the greatest personal development speakers of our time. None of that matters if I really have that foundational mindset. You know, well, the Kentucky flag makes me feel bad, so we need to burn it. That statue makes me feel terrible, so we need to tear it down. No, it's not on the statue. It's not the statue's problem. It's your own personal programming and self-talk. Until we accept responsibility, we will never move forward. See, the reality is we have pundits, and we've had them since I was a kid. And it doesn't matter if you want to talk about Reverend Jesse Jackson or David Duke or anybody in between, that they exist by keeping the fire burning, by keeping everything stirred up. That's the only reason they even exist, is to keep things stirred up. And they have to constantly tell people, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim. Somebody did it to you. Somebody did it to you. Somebody did it to you. Instead of telling them the truth, which is, you are where you are because of what's gone into your mind. And the only way to change where you are is to change what goes into your mind. And it starts with personal responsibility. See, people don't want to hear that because it's much easier to fix the blame quick. If at first I don't succeed, fix the blame quick. Blame it on somebody else. When you got a finger pointing back, pointing out at somebody, you got three more pointing back at you. The real problem always has been, and the real challenge always will be, the person staring you back in the mirror. You got to take care of you for me, and I'll take care of me for you, and this world's going to be a great place to live in. But as long as we're blaming other people for our situation, you know, nobody made you go to school. Maybe your parents did, but you didn't have to. You know, nobody made you get in college debt. You know, nobody made you join that, buy that $40,000 franchise that is worth zero. People want to blame. Blame. And then you got the pundits that want to their whole mission in life is to keep the fire stirred up, keep everything all confused. And they've done it to a point where now it kind of gets out of hand, and there's going to be a backlash from that. So, questions we need to ask ourselves moving forward is, understand the only person that you can control is the one staring you back in the mirror, and every day you get up and do the very best that you can to provide services to the market that you serve, to provide value to the market that you serve, and that's all any of us can do. That's all any of us can do. And I said this because, you know, this whole Black Lives Matter thing going on. And again, I haven't studied it. I'm a headline reader at the most. But when you have American traditions like Aunt Jemima bottles being taken off the grocery store shelves because it makes somebody feel bad, again, my fundamental philosophy always has been, the bottle doesn't make you feel bad. It's your own self-image. It's not the bottle's fault. It's your fault. If the Kentucky flag makes me feel bad, it's not the Kentucky flag's fault. It's my fault. And again, you know, it is, I mean, I love Aunt Jemima. I grew up with Aunt Jemima. She was part of our family. And again, I'm so thankful that I was that of the family that I was raised in. And, you know, we were all one big community, and there was no segregation or anything like that, you know, even back when I grew up. And, you know, Martin Luther King had it pegged. You judge people by their character, not by the color of their skin. Their character. And that's something for me that I think has always come natural. I always talk to my wife about, where's her heart? Are they value focused? Are they income focused? Are they greedy? Are they money? Where's a person's heart? And that's the only thing, because the prisons are full of a lot of nasty, terrible, poor white trailer trash people. Okay, but I don't care if you grew up in a trailer and you had nothing going on in your life and your first 12 years were horrible, or any other environment with any other color skin walking on this earth, there comes a time when you decide, I'm going to be a victim the rest of my life and blame everybody. And when you have quote unquote leaders that are trying to keep that stirred up all the time, it makes it even much more difficult. Or I'm going to rise above it and I'm going to be victorious. And that's the only choices we have in life. So when conditions are great, which is, in my opinion, a few months before all this corona, things were rolling in the United States, and every business, things were good, really good, better than they've been in a long time. And then this hits, and now we're in a state of chaos, in my opinion, at the time of this recording, and who knows how it's all going to come together or where it's going to lead. But here's what I know, is the only person I can really be concerned about is, I got to take care of the person staring me back in the mirror. I've got to take care of me for you and for my family. And you've got to for your family, and stay solid on wisdom of the ages principles. And again, I don't care if 1,000 sheep tearing down statues say a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. I don't care. It's, you know, if it's a stupid thing, it's a stupid thing. I don't care how long they've been in Washington or how popular they are as a congresswoman. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. And again, being able to see behind the curtain to what's really going on and why some people's, they depend upon keeping the masses stirred up. That's our whole focus, is to keep the masses stirred up. And again, the reason I say this is because even before all this, I work again with, you know, presidents of $500 million corporations, people that are just starting their entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they're 35, 40 years old. They've worked for somebody else their whole life, and they're finally saying, you know what, maybe I can start a side gig that I can create some income and maybe even develop to a full-time business. I work with all types of entrepreneurs. And I understand that everybody, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, what your success has been, people have self-limiting beliefs and they need to be able to recognize them and get through them and reprogram them. I know that. You know, and some people, the world perceives to be successful, and then, you know, a few months later they end up on the TV show American Greed. So always you have to see a person's heart. Where are they coming from? Are they focused on really providing value to the market that they serve? Are they just getting theirs? And that getting, I'm going to get mine mentality, should not be in the greatest free enterprise system the world's ever known, because there's enough here for everybody when you don't perceive yourself to be a victim. But the last thing I want to share with you is, as far as Black Lives Matter, again, how many times have everybody, all lives matter to me. I mean, I sincerely, and again, I guess I'm not normal, but when I'm talking to people, the fact that they're Indian, Chinese, Black, Brown, it doesn't even resonate. I don't even think about it. I sincerely don't. I don't know how to think that way. What I'm trying to do is connect with their heart. Where are they coming from? What's their story? What is their story? Where's their background? Where are they coming from? Where do they want to go? How can I encourage or help or support them on that journey? That's the only way I know how to look at people. And again, Dr. Martin Luther King nailed it. And do I judge people? Absolutely. But I believe I judge them by the character, by their heart, where they're coming from. That's all I know how to look at. I don't even know how to look at anything else. So yes, Black Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter, all lives matter. And as long as we tell Black people or any other race, you know, you cannot be successful until this statue comes down or until this Aunt Jemima bottle comes off the grocery store shelf, you're a victim. You know, you don't have a chance. And as long as that's stirred up in any society, any race, it's going to be hard for people to rise above. I would go as far as saying impossible. Impossible. Because the way our minds program, as we think, as a man thinketh, as a woman thinketh, so we are. What we think we are. Our thoughts create our actions, and our actions create our results in life. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about business or what kind of parent we're going to be. You know, my daddy was poor, my granddaddy was poor, and about the best we can do is save up enough money every week. Maybe we can go to poor folks' restaurant and have us a nice meal. And some people were just raised with that mentality, you know, in the sticks of Tennessee or wherever. And then some people were raised, you know, we got third generation welfare families in this country. Welfare was designed to help people get back on their feet, not to put them down and keep them down for generation after generation. And I could go on and on, but you guys know this. But here's my concern, and it's selfish. It's a selfish concern, but I think it's legitimate, and I think it's something that more people need to think about during this time in the United States of America and really around the world. Jude is and Tice going to be in the first grade. That's my two little grandsons. They're going to be in the first grade. I'm sure their ears are hearing it now, but at some point they're going to be able to read and read well. And, you know, here about a week ago, it's every time I turn on Amazon or anywhere else, I pulled up Amazon, try to watch Remember the Titans, and it's this Black Lives Matter. And I'm not against or for Black Lives Matter, other than this is the only thought I really have about it. Our white lives matter, our yellow lives matter, our red Indians matter. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, where I'm coming from here, so stay with me, and I know I've probably lost many of you already, but here's my point. Eventually, I think about Tice looking up on the TV and he's reading Black Lives Matter. Now, you got to understand, both of my grandsons are raised in great environments, loving moms, dads, great environments. They get all the support in the world. All the love they could ever want from all of our family members. I mean, they're raised in a really great environment, both of them. And they're in good schools and, you know, good youth groups in their churches and so on and so forth. Their life, they have the opportunity to grow, learn, become, and fulfill their purpose on this earth, both of them. But one day they're going to look up and read Black Lives Matter. Now, put yourself in the mindset of a 5 or 6 year old child, and they read Black Lives Matter, and they think, well, of course Black Lives Matter. Don't Black Lives Matter? Why do they need to put that up on TV? Don't we matter? We matter, don't we? Why do they keep saying that? Why do they have shirts that say that? What's that really all about? And it creates questions. And if we're not aware, questions can create doubts. And doubts can create negative self-talk, which can ultimately play out in a very negative way. The only way we're going to stop this situation is to all understand the history is history, the past is the past. Now's time to start anew. At some point, the slate has to be wiped clean, and it's not good for kids to constantly hear about the failures of generations that have gone before them. At some point, they need to understand the history and be aware of it, but they need to be told, you can do anything in life you want. You can do whatever you want. You live in America. It's the greatest free enterprise system the world's ever known. They need to hear about Les Brown, born in the Miami Projects, you know, to a mother that was drug addicted. In school, they said he was retarded. He was in the slow classes in school. And Les came out and taking personal responsibility, focusing on personal education, mindset training, reading the right books, became one of the most recognized public personal development speakers in the world. Phenomenal human being. Is he perfect? He'd probably be first to say no. You know, we have Les at Pure Motivation. I've had the opportunity to speak with Les on multiple occasions. He's a good guy, but he came out of horrific circumstances, much like Zig. You know, Zig wasn't born to a drug addicted mom, but he was born in the middle of the Depression. So the truth of all this, the truth for all of us, is we can take responsibility and grow and become victorious, or we can be a victim. And not just in the middle of chaos that's going on in the world today, but when things are going phenomenal. Things are going great. There's still people that get up every day going to jobs they don't like, being around people they don't like, and they have limiting beliefs that, hey, maybe I could do something different. Maybe I could do something better. Maybe I could find a product or service that I could provide to the marketplace with and give them great value and build something of significance that can be passed down to my family and really make an impact, a positive impact. And again, I could go on and on and on. I won't. But for my two little grandsons and really all my grandchildren and your children, I just feel like this is something that we need to really look behind the curtain a little bit and realize that all of us have the opportunity to be victims or victorious. And those questions that we ask ourselves as entrepreneurs and in life, you know, what do I really want? I've always told people, write your obituary. What do you want them to say about you when you're gone? Were you part of the problem? Or are you part of the solution? Were you providing value, or were you a giver, or were you a taker? All those things make a huge difference. So it's my hope and my prayer for each one of you that I've said something in the last few minutes that will create thought. I needed to get it off my chest. Here at Pure Motivation, we're going to continue to share videos and articles and information about Wisdom of the Ages principles that I know, when internalized, you know, when internalized, can make a huge positive impact in every aspect of your life. This is Dale Calvert. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again in the future. God bless.